My mother is famous in our family for sending everybody, and I mean everybody, love notes. And she sends them throughout the year, whether it's a national holiday or not, and she sends them to people in the congregation. She sends them to friends far and near. She sends them to her children, to her grandchildren, notes telling them why they are so special and dear to her and why she loves us all so very much. I wouldn't be surprised if I got a note today on her day saying that to us. I save all of these notes. I have a pile of them at my bedside table, and every one of them is precious to me. In fact, I was just rereading some of them last night. What she does, what my mom does, is what God was doing with Jesus at the Jordan River during the baptism. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, God says, as Jesus arises out of the depths. It is the voice of God, and it is a voice saying that I will love you with an everlasting love. I have molded you together, as he says in Jeremiah. I have molded you together in the depths of the earth. I have knitted you together in your mother's womb. I have written your name on the palm of my hand. I hold you safely in the shade of my embrace. You belong to me, and I belong to you, and you are safe where I am. Do not be afraid, therefore. Trust that you are the beloved. This is who you truly are to me, God says. It's a love note that God gives to each and every one of us. And I want you to hear this voice. I want you to hear it very clearly today, because it's not a loud voice that comes to us, as the psalmist reminds us. It's that still, small voice that comes to us when everything else is clamoring around us, just reminding us ever so gently how much God loves us. But what's even more importantly than that voice coming to us is believing that this voice speaks the truth of who we truly are. Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite theologians of all time, one of the most spiritually grounded people I've ever had the pleasure of reading. My mother has met him. Had a very successful career as an ordained priest in the Roman Catholic Church. Was a professor of psychology at the Menninger Clinic in Kansas. Was a professor of psychology at the universities of Notre Dame, Yale, and Harvard. And after a long career, he left all of this behind to go share his life with the mentally handicapped people in the LaArche community of Daybreak in Toronto, Canada. And he wrote about this experience in his book called The Life of the Beloved. And I want to share with you some of the things that he passes on to us, the wisdom, the reality of what this is like to be beloved. He says this: I live with people who sometimes have a very hard time believing that they are chosen to be loved by God. They suffer not so much from their mental handicap, but from the feeling of not being wanted or being desired. They have lost touch, many of them, with the truth that they are chosen by God. It's hard for them to be in touch with this, precisely because the people around them have often said to them, I don't want you around me. I don't want you to be here. I don't like you. Why don't you just go away? Therefore, the life, Nouwen says, of the beloved starts by trusting, first and foremost, that we are chosen because of our uniqueness by God, that we are unique in the eyes of God and precious in his sight. Now, the second aspect of this quality of life of the beloved is that we are blessed. Each and every one of us has not only been called by God, but each and every one of us has been blessed. And it is so important for you and I to experience that we are blessed. In fact, the word benediction at the end of the service that we give every week at the close of our service means to send out with a blessing. Therefore, to bless somebody means to say good things about them. Things as simple and as straightforward are, as you are a good person. We need to know that good things are being said about us. We need that to be nourished. We really have to trust that. Otherwise, we cannot bless other people because we ourselves are not feeling blessed. Way too many people feel that they are not blessed today. There is one of my friends where I live who is quite handicapped, but a wonderful, wonderful lady. And she said to me, "Henry, can you bless me?" I remember walking up to her and making the sign of the cross on her forehead, and she said, "Henry, that doesn't work." And I was embarrassed, and I said, "I gave you the best blessing I know." And she said, "No, no, no, I want to be blessed, Henry." And I kept thinking, what does that mean? So we had our little service, and all of these people that were there sitting at the service were intently listening to what she had said. And after the service, I said, "Janet wants a blessing." And I had my robe on with my alb and my long sleeves. And Janet walked up to me and I said, "I want you to be blessed today, Janet." And she put her head against my chest. And I spontaneously put my arms around her and I held her. And I looked right into her eyes and I said, "Blessed are you, Janet. You know how much we love you. You know how important you are. You know what a good woman you are." And she looked at me and she said, "Yes, yes, yes, I know." And I suddenly saw all sorts of energy coming back into her body and a smile come across her face. She seemed to be relieved from the feeling of depression that had been there with her prior to this, because suddenly she realized again that she was blessed. She went back to her place, and immediately all the other people in that area of the sanctuary said, "I want that kind of blessing too." The people kept walking up to me, and I suddenly found myself embracing every single one of them. I remember one of the people in our community who assists the handicapped, who's one of our helpers. He's a big, strong, strapping guy, a football player. And he said, "Henry, I want to have a blessing too." And I remember our standing there in front of each other and I said, "John," and I put my hands on his shoulders as I said this, "you are blessed. You are a good person, John. God loves you and we love you. And you are important to this community and to me. Can you claim that? And can you live as a blessed one, John?" You see, I think it's very important that when we are in touch with our own blessedness, that we bless other people, pass it on. People need our blessings every single day. People need to know whether they're fathers or mothers or brothers or sisters or grandparents, that they are blessed by their own family members and by their friends. And then a third thing happens. We are broken after we have been blessed. We are broken now and says, we are all broken people. You and I know that we are broken. A lot of brokenness has to do with relationships, doesn't it? If you were to ask me what it is that makes us suffer, it is always because somebody couldn't hold on to us or somebody hurt us. I know each of us can point to a brokenness in our own relationships with our husbands or with our wives or with our fathers or mothers or with our children or with our friends. Those that we love the most deeply and are the closest to us are the ones that sometimes hurt us the most. Wherever there is love, there is also pain. Wherever there is trust and confidence, there is also doubt and pain. Wherever there are people who really care for us, there is also the pain that sometimes we are not being cared for enough, or maybe in the way that we need it at that moment. Like Janet, "Henry, that's not the kind of blessing I want. I need another blessing." What do we do with our brokenness, folks? Henry asks. As the beloved of God, we have to embrace it. We can't run away from it. In fact, we have to befriend our brokenness. Not to say that should not be in my life, I have no need of it, or why should I suffer? No, we should dare to embrace our brokenness every single moment that it happens and really look at it. Yes, I am hurting. Yes, I am wounded. Yes, what I am going through is painful. Quite often, what we want to do in an attempt to keep pain at bay, especially the pain that we can't fix, which is everybody's pain, is to solve people's problems for them and to tell them what to do, how to get over things, how to be better. And we think that that's being helpful, but it's not. In fact, it's driving a deeper wedge between us when we do those things. And it creates more distance than it does closeness. The main task that we have is to put our brokenness and the brokenness of the people that we live with under the blessing of God. To lift it up and to say, God blesses this in us. If God did not bless us, then he would not have let his son suffer on the cross. If you believe that your brokenness is a curse, if you believe that it's some kind of punishment instead of a blessing, even a little brokenness can destroy your life, Nouwen says. Even a little bit can destroy your life. It's like an affirmation that you are not good. And suddenly you say, you see what has happened? I lost my job, or I lost my loved one. This friend won't speak to me. And then we begin to hold on to that. And we see it as something that's proven that we are not good. And we put our brokenness away on a shelf and try and hide it from view from everybody else, rather than putting it on display just as God's son did on the cross to let us know that that is as much a part of life as his joy, to live as people for whom good things are also being said and not to assume that everything that is being said about us is negative and bad. If we live our life as people who are called by God, blessed by God, and even broken by God, then we can give of ourselves freely and very easily. We are taken, we are blessed, and we are broken, just like we do at the Lord's table every month. I want to tell you something that may sound a little strange, but I really believe deeply that our greatest human desire is to give of ourselves to one another. That the greatest desire of our heart is not to take, but to give. Quite often we say that we want to have a lot for ourselves, or our society paints that picture for us. To have the good life is to have everything going our way, and then just to give a little bit back so that we can hang on to all that goodness. But Nouwen says, no, I think the greatest fulfillment of our heart is in the giving. To give ourselves away for others. As Jesus said, to lose your life for another is to find it and save it. It's the letting go. The mystery is that we let go for others, our lives. And when we do this letting go, they start bearing fruit. People all of a sudden want to be around us. We become like a magnet, just like Henry became a magnet to all those in his congregation who wanted a blessing after Janet received hers. I want one of those too. Who wouldn't? That is the great mystery, that in our brokenness, we find our wholeness. That somehow in our brokenness, God knits us back together. Jesus says, it is good for you that I die. In John's gospel, he says this. He says, because when I die, I will give you my spirit, and you will bear much fruit in your life. And I really believe that this is the kind of final call for all of us. To give ourselves away for other human beings is the greatest gift that you can give. As Jesus himself said, no greater gift is this than that you lay down your life for another human being. The people who have lived as the beloved will always continue to bear fruit generation after generation. Even after they have died, they will be remembered for how they loved. When we think about certain great people in history, they still give us hope. They still give us life. Jesus, 2,000 years later, is still giving us hope, still giving us life. Lincoln, another example for me. Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., and you have yours, your own to name. People like my grandfather and my grandmother still radiate a fruit to me of love that transcends time and place, even though they've long been gone from here. Their stories say something about our lives. We are little people. We are not big. We are not particularly strong. We're certainly not famous. But if we believe we are chosen, if we believe we are blessed, then when we are broken, we have something to give one another. Then we can trust that our life will bear fruit. It will multiply like the loaves and the fishes in the story that Jesus tells us, not only in this life, but beyond it, and for many, many eons to come. To this day, I will hold on to my mother and my father's words of love. As my father likes to put in every book he writes, at the beginning of it, to each one of his children, he says, to Stephen, to Susan, to Christy, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Everybody here should hold on to the promise that they are blessed and beloved too. You should know this so that you can go forth from this time and place and be a blessing to others. Amen.